May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 642. Once more, dear God of grace, thy earthly courts we tread. We come to see thy face and banquet with our head. We long, we faint, we pant for thee, and hope that with us thou wilt be. 642.
Let us read from the Word of God. In the second book of Chronicles, chapter 6, and we read, friends, to the verse 31 from the beginning. That is the second book of Chronicles, chapter 6. Then said Solomon, the Lord hath said that he would dwell in the thick darkness, but I have built an house of habitation for thee, and a place for thy dwelling for ever. And the king turned his face and blessed the whole congregation of Israel, and all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who hath with his hands fulfilled that which he spake with his mouth to my father David, saying, Since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build an house in, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be a ruler over my people Israel, but I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there. And I have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of David my father to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to David my father, For as much as it was in thine heart to build an house for my name, thou didst well in that it was in thine heart. Notwithstanding, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son, which shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house for my name. The Lord therefore hath performed his word that he hath spoken, for I am risen up in the room of David my father, and am set on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and I have built the house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And in it have I put the ark, wherein is the covenant of the Lord, that he made with the children of Israel. And he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands, for Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad and 3 cubits high, and had set it in the midst of the court. And upon it he stood and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward heaven, and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven, nor in the earth, which keepest covenant, and showest mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. Thou which hast kept with thy servant David my father that which thou hast promised him, and spakest with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. Now therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father that which thou hast promised him, saying, There shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit upon the throne of Israel, yet so that thy children take heed to their ways to walk in my law, and thou hast walked before me, as thou hast walked before me. Now then, O Lord, God of Israel, let thy word be verified, which thou hast spoken unto thy servant David. But will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house which I have built. Have respect therefore to the prayer of thy servant, and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee. that thine eyes may be opened upon this house day and night, and upon the place whereof thou hast said that thou wouldest put thy name there, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayeth toward this place. Hearken therefore unto the supplications of thy servant and of thy people Israel, which they shall make toward this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven, and when thou hearest, forgive. If a man sin against his neighbour, and an oath be laid upon him to make him swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou from heaven, and do, and judge thy servants by requiting the wicked, by recompensing his way upon his own head, and by justifying the righteous, by giving him according to his righteousness. And if thy people Israel be put to the worse before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall return and confess thy name, and pray and make supplication before thee in this house, then hear thou from the heavens and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest to them and to their fathers. When the heaven is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against thee, yet if they pray toward this house and confess thy name and turn from their sin, when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, when thou hast taught them the good way wherein they should walk, and send rain upon thy land, which thou hast given unto thy people for an inheritance. If there be dearth in the land, if there be pestilence, if there be blasting or mildew, locusts or caterpillars, if their enemies besiege them in the cities of their land, whatsoever sore, whatsoever sickness there be, then what prayer or what supplication soever shall be made of any man or of all thy people Israel, when every man shall know his own sore and his own grief, and shall spread forth his hands in this house, then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and render unto every man according unto all his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men, that they may fear thee to walk in thy ways, so long as they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. May the Lord bless his word to us. May he help us in prayer. O Lord God Almighty, we do beg of thee now that thou wilt grant us access to thee, that we may come before thee now, Lord, and gain thine ear, and have that blessed indicting of the Spirit, that we may pray as prompted from within. O dear Holy Spirit, do come down, and may thy holy influence be upon us each and in us each. And, Lord, we may feel it collectively in the house of God. Do come, Lord, and in that wise the dear Holy Son of God promised. O do thou, dear Holy Spirit, come and reveal our precious Christ. Take of the things of Jesus Christ and reveal them unto us here tonight. Oh, we gather together a company of poor dying sinners. We feel it more and more, Lord. And we have personally much to confess. And, oh Lord, we would come thus in honesty and humility and feeling of grief, of godly sorrow, and confess our sins before thee. And, oh Lord, that as we might so know, through our confessions, thy favours, John so wonderfully put it, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, we beg thee, come thus, Lord, to each one of us here tonight. You know, with the circumstances we gather under, Lord, oh, thy dear beloved servant, whom we all know and love, laid aside once more, do go to him, Lord, and comfort him, calm his mind, and bless him, Lord. And oh, we do pray thou wilt heal him, Lord, restore him. Lord, one feels insufficient to come, Lord, and oh, stand in as it were, Lord, but oh, we pray it may be proved as thy divine appointment. Oh, Lord, we would never want to step in front of another of thy servants. Thou knowest thou hast what solemnly made us know we're nothing. We are nothing, Lord, and as our friend prayed in the vestry, we feel it so much, like the apostle quoted, spoke from his heart, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But oh, as that dear great apostle was so favoured, Lord, by thy grace, Lord, we hope we know in some blessed measure the same answer that he knew. I thank God through Jesus Christ. And so with the mind serve I the law of God, and with the flesh the law of sin. Oh, that other law in our members, Lord, is our trouble, which warreth against the law of our mind, that when we would do good, evil is present. Oh, we beg thee, favour us that we may make true and solemn confession with sincerity of heartfelt feeling of grief. Lord, oh, hear us and forgive us. May we know again, Lord, some of us we pray in this way. May we know again thy forgiving love. As oft as sin thy soul assail thee, what blessed theme, turn thine eyes to Jesus' blood. And oh, we have well been taught, Lord, and we know by grace nothing short of this can heal thee, bring thee peace, and do thee good. Do come, Lord, tonight and do good in thy good pleasure here. We would acknowledge thy mercies, Lord, thy long-suffering goodness, thy loving kindness to each of us here, and especially we would acknowledge tonight, Lord, the favour to dear handmaid of thine and dear father, and in the dear family, Lord, the thankfulness, and among all the people here, we believe, thankfulness thou hast spared life and given life. May that little one born, Lord, be blessed of thee. Would it be thy will in thy time? Oh, may he grow, Lord, and be strong, and may he be healthy and well, and would, oh, above all in thy time, it be thy holy sovereign will that would bless him to know the new birth. Oh, we're all born Oh, and first birth, but oh, what is so wonderful when they are just come to quicken and make alive spiritually as thou wilt every one and thou hast set thy love upon. And oh, we do look for this, Lord, in our families and in the churches, Lord, in our gathering together unto thee, in the company of our friends, Lord, and all their loved ones and families, Lord, we pray that thou would wonderfully evidence thy work in quickening dead sinners into life, calling them by thy grace. Manifest thy favour, Lord. Oh, that thou hast of that number which no man can number, and those other sheep which are not of this fold, Lord, some not of this fold yet here. Lord, oh, are there those thou must bring, and those thou must bring and cause them to come and tell what the Lord has done for them. Oh, Lord, we do pray, we watch, we wait, we plead with thee, O God, to work. Thou hast said, I will work, and who shall let it? And we know none can frustrate thy work. We wait thy appearing, Lord. We wait thy working, that vision which is for an appointed time. Though it tarry, wait for it. We would humbly wait. We would wait upon thee. We would watch and wait. We beg thee, help us each in this, that we may be in diligence. First to make our own calling and election sure, and also in diligence for souls. Oh, the weight and burden of souls. Our own soul and our loved ones and our friends and theirs. Lord, it is not just our own loved ones. Thou hast given the weight and burden of souls to us for many souls. And Lord, we do watch thy appearing in these things of the wonderful work of grace, which thou wilt so make manifest in thy time in every one of those vessels of mercy who are to be fitted for the Master's use. Do let thy work appear here, Lord, in this cause of truth. They are a favoured people, Lord, in a good measure. But thou knowest, Lord, especially those that are exercised in the church are very much burdened and exercised for souls. We've heard it in the prayer in the vestry, Lord. Oh, that is so given the godly here to pray that thou wilt work and manifest thy favour in dealing with precious souls. Oh, Lord, work, we beg, we plead, we watch, we wait. Thy appearing, Lord. Oh, do quicken souls and make them cry, Jesus, save me or I die. And do go on to work as we believe thou wilt in every one there is quickened. Thou wilt not leave thy work partly done or half done. Thou hast very clearly stated thou wilt finish the work in righteousness in thy people. Thou wilt not leave it half done. Thou wilt not quicken and then leave. Thou must do all the work. And Lord, as we read in the epistle to the Philippians, it is God which worketh in you. It's continuing, it's an ongoing work and experience under the favour of Almighty God. And so we do look for it and pray for it, Lord. Oh, as thou hast given us to be exercise and burden for souls. Lord, do bless the ministry of thy word. Oh, Lord, do come tonight for this. But in every little hill of Zion and every gathering of thy people unto thee, may there be the wonderful witness of the work and operation of the Spirit of God. And Lord, that there might be wonderful signs following the preaching of the word. Oh, that thou would bless thy servants, Lord, and give them souls for their hire, seals for their labours. That thou would bless their ministry, Lord, in thy name. And oh, there might be rejoicing. There might be much praise. in the Church of God, for the wonders of thy grace, the wonders God alone can do. Lord, oh, we pray for friends who are in affliction, who know is those who have their afflictions and are in pain and affliction, Lord. We go in our mind and heart up and down across the land to a number, Lord. Oh, do restore where it is thy will, and build up, raise up, heal. There know is those that have suffered injuries, Lord, and need healing, Lord. There it is with some, with those wounds and those sores, Lord. Oh, there will be wounds and sores. There know if these things come in thy people's lot and pathway. And oh, we do pray for that healing. Oh, may they know the blessedness of thy healing, their good physician. But Lord, the healing also many feel to need is their souls. Seek my soul, no other healing. But in Jesus' balmy blood, we've got, Lord, the festering sores of sin. Oh, we need thee to apply that balm in Gilead. Lord, what a question it is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no kind physician nigh? Well, we trust, we have witnessed it, Lord, and we know there is balm. Oh, there is that is provided, even through thy sacrifice, Lord, thy blood shed. Oh, thy holy divine atonement. Oh, we pray, Lord, that burdened souls might lose their load. Oh, and downcast souls rejoice. Oh, that thou wouldst so give earnestness in exercise to thy people, that they might be in earnest for the wonderful favours of thy grace, to know and taste thy pardoning. Lord, that favour of hearing that wonderful pardoning voice, to know and taste redeeming love. Oh, to know our sins blotted out, put away, pardon, put away. And oh, to know those wonderful high favours of thy love, Lord, and thy grace, even justification by faith. Oh, we may be able to humbly testify much love in return to thee. Oh, of those wonderful things that thou hast made thyself to us, to be the Lord our righteousness. Oh, Lord, how we need it. We have no righteousness of our own. All ours are but filthy rags. But, Lord, oh, we seek thee to know all what thou hast done, that is done for us. Personal is the need, Lord, of each of thy people. But, oh, in love we pray to one for another. Oh, Lord, do be with us tonight. And so we especially also think of dear friends who have lost loved ones. There are those widows we think of, Lord, and the fatherless. And, oh, how they were taking thy people home, taking them from the evil to come. Oh, we bless thee for the wonderful assurance we have of one and another. We especially have felt it, Lord, regarding our dear late friend, the dear deacon of Braintree. Not very few were favoured as he was so wonderfully favoured. We believe, Lord, he was blessed with that great favour of justification by faith. Oh, had that wonderful adorning of his poor soul with that garment, white as snow. Now he's in that land of pure delight, where saints immortal reign. Blessed memory is the memory of the just. Memory of the just is blessed. We praise thy grace, Lord. We beg, prepare me. Prepare us, personal, Lord. Prepare us, each of us. May this be our prayer. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. And Lord, no other way but that one wonderful way. In Christ's obedience clothed, and wash me in his blood, so shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. Thou knowest, Lord, how we've been led in exercise today. Thou hast so led us. Thy blessed Spirit, Lord, given us. And thou knowest, as soon as our friend left in speaking to us, as we finished our call together, Lord, as he called one, thou didst give us that wonderful theme to worship the Lord in prayer and in praise, to practice his word as well as to hear, to receive with contrition the deeds we have done and take the remission God gives in his Son. May there be a number here tonight who shall so know those favours that we beg of thee for, Lord. That wonderful remission of sins, that wonderful favour, forgiveness, pardon, and peace that flows into the soul with the application of thy holy, precious, sin-atoning blood to thy people's hearts and consciences. O Lord, do so work here tonight. We beg thee, dear Lord, pleading the precious name of Jesus. Oh, we beg for his dear name's sake. Amen.
Hymn 678. There's not a man that's born of God but readily will say, if ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. 678.
Thank you.
as the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to a few verses in the portion that we read in the 2nd of Chronicles, chapter 6, reading a few verses along from the 28th verse, particularly the central theme of it is prayer and begging of God because we have sinned, and that we might know that wonderful forgiveness. From the 28th verse, if there be dearth in the land, if there be pestilence, if there be blasting, or mildew, or locusts, or caterpillars, if their enemies besiege them in the cities of their land, whatsoever sore, whatsoever sickness there be, then what prayer or what supplication soever shall be made of any man or of all the people Israel, when every one shall know his own sore and his own grief, and shall spread forth his hands in this house, then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and render to every man according unto all his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men. Friends, we are sinners like all Israel were. Oh, we trust God has so brought us to know him and to love him and to love the habitation of his house, the place where his honour dwelleth. You know how it's so much recorded in the word regarding David, how he had a heart, like we've read tonight, to build an house for the Lord. He was concerned that the Lord's presence, as it were, in this way of the figure of the ark was not in a house, in a place of worship, but was in various places. And he was concerned and had in his heart to build a house for the Lord. And of course, it wasn't in the will of God that David should do so, but David did do such a great deal in preparing. And God had told him that his son that would issue from him would build the house. And we've read the record of it. It was a wonderful time, friends, when, as we've read, how Solomon was so acknowledging and desiring to worship and praise God and acknowledge God's wonderful provision of all that was provided. But oh, the greatest point, I think, in it all is the ark was placed there. And their worship coming up to the house of God was as up to worship there before the ark. And of course, there's so much that speaks of in type, and wonderful anti-type, of course, is Christ himself, the ark of grace. But friends, here also, the Lord, in David's heart, he'd put it to acknowledge and to pray in these ways. He's prayed, and he acknowledges, knowing by experience, that they would still be sinners, and there would still be solemnly coming upon them God's chastening. And so we have it particularly here in this these verses we read. If there be dearth in the land, if there be pestilence, if there be blasting, or mildew, or locust, or caterpillar, if their enemies besiege them, if. And oh, how much it is, friends, that there is so much of these things we have to know, we have to acknowledge, we have to admit And we have to know that God will chasten and he will correct us. But the wonderful thing I believe David knew and Solomon knew, as Solomon is praying here, you know, the wonderful thing he knew was that God was a forgiving God, a pardoning God. I think of the theme in the hymn, who is a pardoning God like thee, whose love and grace is so rich and free. And you see here, it was all acknowledged here in this way by Solomon, and he in this way, in communion with God, he says, then hear thou in heaven and forgive, as we have read. My friends, come into it more closely in the way it does relate to us. How are you tonight? Have you come into the house of God tonight with any measure of guilt on your conscience? I have to say I have, for we cannot cease from sin. But looking carefully and considering personally, friends, oh, is it given you to consider personally what your sins are, how they grieve God, and how you need to plead with God for mercy? Like that verse that come to me, to worship the Lord in prayer and in praise. It is not much understood by God's people, but God does give light at times. You know, we are really in worship of God when we go to God in prayer, confessing our sins and pleading for mercy in a way, because we know there's no other way, there's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved, and we plead for Jesus' sake. There's worship in that. There's the pleading, there's the need, there's the burden you have and the pleading before God, but it's something we do not realise at the moment of it, but we are worshipping God in prayer, because we're praying to God, because God by the Spirit has made us know that it's none but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. And so here I believe in these Old Testament times there was this, because remember the ark was there and it's going to the Lord in his temple like Solomon had built it, and for that purpose, for God's worship. It was for prayer and worship. The place was established, built, God providing all the means and giving them the heart and exercise for it and for God's honour and glory. Friends, have we gathered tonight with a single eye to God's honour and glory? Consider your own self in it personally, and may I. This is very important. Do we come to the house of God with a desire, first desire, first purpose, the honour and glory of God? Now, the thing is, you see, if we come with sin upon our conscience, well then, we have, in a sense, if it's considered carefully, we are in a sense at a disadvantage, because that sin, that guilt is upon us. But can you see that although sin and guilt is upon us, it should not be felt and understood as a disadvantage, because we've got a God to go to. We've got a God to pray to, the living God, the true and living God. And we pray to God begging mercy. He's a merciful, the Lord Jesus Christ is a merciful and faithful high priest in heaven there at God's right hand, sitting on the blood-sprinkled mercy seat. Oh, we think of it in the theme, to thee we look, to thee we bow, to thee for help we call, our life, our resurrection, thou, our Jesus and our all. Oh, this, you see, Solomon knew the way of approach to God, pleading like this, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. We have this favour, friends. In this gospel day, we have even more light, really. We should acknowledge it. The Lord has come. He has suffered at Calvary, bled and died on the cross, shed his holy vital blood, made complete atonement for the sins of the whole church of God. He is in heaven now at God's right hand, ever living to make intercession for his people. Then hear them. You see, if there be dearth in the land, if there be pestilence, oh, you must, and I must acknowledge it personally. If there is, what's the state of your soul? What's the state of your mind? Oh, are you in liberty of the gospel? Are you in bondage? Do you feel the freeness of the favour of God's grace? Or do you feel the bondage of guilt, of sin, of condemnation of the law of God? What condition art thou in, poor soul? What is the state of thy soul? Are you even here as you're here tonight? Here it says, if there be dearth in the land, if there be pestilence, if there be blasting, or mildew, locusts or caterpillars, if their enemies besiege them in the cities of their land, whatsoever sore, whatsoever sickness, sickness of soul, unhealthy state, what is that? It could be careless condition, it could be lukewarmness. There's a sickness of soul. The child of God not exercised as they need to be. Oh, they may be in a state of slumber, or they may be in a state of sickness and pain, really, really causing them to feel pain. So many changes, friends, hot and cold in half an hour. But, oh, the throne of grace is open still. There is a throne of grace. The Lord sits on the throne of grace, on the blood-sprinkled mercy seat, at the throne of grace, at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And this, friends, he is touched with the feelings of his people's infirmities. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Oh, we come up tonight to worship the Lord in prayer and in praise, and there'll be much need for it, much reason for it. Now, do you have this to witness in your own exercises? You have much need for prayer, much need for confession, much need for honest acknowledgement of what you are and where you are, and pleading with the Lord in that wonderful way. And oh, if the Lord grant you the blessed access that he gives when his people are in honest confession and feeling the grief of their very heart and soul for sin, godly sorrow, which worketh repentance unto salvation, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place and forgive. Oh, hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place and forgive, and render unto every man according to unto all his ways, whose heart thou knowest. Isn't it? It's solemn, isn't it? God knows the heart, you see. Oh, we might speak to a friend, and we might not speak all of what we feel and the deep things of our heart, and we only communicate to them perhaps part. Sometimes that can be sinful, but oh, God knows all. He knows all. He knows everything. He sees us through and through. Nothing can we hide to him. We cannot hide from him or hide anything from him. Oh, he sees us when we see not him. He knows our hearts. He sees us through and through. But you see, the way to liberty, the way to know the holy favour of joy and peace in believing, to know the freeness of the favours of God's grace, is we must confess our sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, is the reality of the favour of the work and of the Holy Spirit in you, going on in you, to cause you to know you must and feel you must confess your sin and to feel that sorrow, that godly sorrow which worketh repentance unto salvation, which also the word says needeth not to be repented of. Oh, it's so good. It's so good and profitable to be brought there, to really feel godly sorrow for our sins. And that sorrow for grieving our Lord. Oh, friends, then you pray to God in the Spirit and you gain the ear of God. Then hear thou in heaven, thy dwelling place, and forgive. Forgive. Oh, is this the favour that we are after, friends? Forgiveness. Are you exercised for forgiveness? Do you need it much? Are you seeking it earnestly? Is this the great favour that you so much need and beg the Lord for? Forgiveness, that joyful saying. To malefactors doomed to die, may this blessing me be found, may I redeem in love espy. Are you after forgiveness? Oh, what great favour it is. One of the hymn writers says to bear about this pledge below, this special grant of heaven, forgiveness. Are you after it, friends? Are you seeking it? Some of you have known it. If you've known it, some have known it years ago. I knew it years ago. I say that. I want to acknowledge it humbly. God blessed me with it many years ago. And how much I've needed it to be renewed, friends. How much I've needed new times of being plunged in that crimson ocean, God's atonement made for sin. Many more times I've needed it. I've had to beg, Lord, have mercy upon me. I've got so much, I must confess. I feel so much grief because of indwelling sin. I feel so much grief that I've grieved thee with my transgressions. And oh, if you want, you so much need to plead again for forgiveness, to know pardon of your sins, to know your sins are blotted away, put away, blotted out by the precious blood of Jesus. Now, friends, tonight, can I put it to you very straightly, but I hope very lovingly, are you earnestly seeking to know your sins forgiven? Are you earnestly seeking to know the love of Christ shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost? You see, the realities of real religion, of real soul need, are summed up in this word: give me Christ or else I die. And he will be made so precious to those who are in such need. He will be made more precious far than life and all its comforts are. Now, have you got this evidence in you that he is more precious far than life and all its comforts are? If you're really being brought to be in earnest, seeking earnestly his face, seeking earnestly to know and taste redeeming love, he must be more precious than anything else. He will be made that. He will be made the chiefest good to thee. Oh, the one thing needful, The one thing needful, dearest Lord, is to be one with thee. Oh, how sacred that theme, a sense of thy expiring love. Into my soul convey, thyself bestow, for thou alone, my all in all, I pray. Hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place. Oh, there's this dearth, this pestilence, oh, the blasting, all in the hand of God, as he chastens, as he corrects. Oh, in his holy sovereign will, he's appointed it that his people have to know such sorrow, such hard things, such things that naturally, according to the natural understanding of the mind, seems to be so much against the child of God, but not really. In the hand of God, God is working in that way with us in a sovereign, blessed purpose to make his people right and keep them right. He must chastise those who slip and fall and grieve him. He must correct. Kindest fathers will not spare the rod. Hear the rod and hear with us appointed it. And oh, our Heavenly Father, we'll chasten us, friends. Correct us. Not let us go our own way. Not let us go along with Satan, as he would take us right away. He would take us down with him to that bottomless pit he will be cast into forever. Oh, that lake, fire which burneth with fire and brimstone. He would take us there. But oh, the wonderful saving grace of God will not allow him to. God has a purpose to bless. He has a blessed purpose to bless his people, to make them right and keep them right. His chastens, friends, therefore prize the privilege of the saint. Their hearts are hard of this despise, and theirs too weak, who faint. You feel like fainting. You feel you're near fainting. Feel weak. Oh, pray to God. Pray here, there, in heaven, thy dwelling place. Strengthen me, Lord. Help me, Lord, help. Lord, undertake. Lord, uphold me. Lord, keep me. Lord, strengthen my poor weak heart. Oh, give an increase of faith. Increase my faith, Lord. This will be the way. You will be praying to this one in heaven, the God in heaven, the throne of grace in heaven. Oh, the throne of grace is open still to hear that God hears the mourner's prayer. Hear thou in heaven. They dwell in place. This word runs on, friends, and the context of it, the theme of it, the many points within these verses, many truths and facts of the way God will work and favour his people, the way he did in the days of Solomon, and the way he has done all those rest of those Old Testament days. And now in the new dispensation, the last times that we're in, God is working, and it's the same. He is in heaven, and we are on the earth. He is God over all. Our great God, Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who to save the souls of his people are all concerned. Oh, the wonderful favour the family of God have. They've got their Heavenly Father to call upon. And the way they call upon him, they plead the precious name of Jesus. God, by the Spirit, teaches his people well that Jesus is the way to God. Jesus is the way to bliss. All the church this way has trod down from Adam's day to this. Is it your favour to so know the throne of grace? To know the way of approach to God, to know access to God, to know the favour of being brought nigh to God. How are you brought nigh? How is the church brought nigh to God? Brought nigh, the apostle says in Ephesians, brought nigh by the blood of Christ. So, friends, you must plead the holy blood of Christ. You must plead the blood that did for sin atone. Oh, that the Holy Son of God shed in that way for the remission of sins. Oh, that his people might know pardon, might know forgiveness, might be set free, might be blessed with liberty to know the liberty of the gospel, joy and peace in believing. Oh, pray toward this place. Pray to God in heaven. Pray, beg him for mercy. Seek, sue for pardon. Oh, plead in the name of Jesus. Oh, God gives his people the wonderful privilege. What a privilege it is to carry everything, but especially the things relating to your soul salvation, to God, to be in diligence for this, to be begging God. Now let's get, oh my God, help us to really get down to this, personally and together here tonight. Are we begging of God that he would bless us to know our pardon signed and peace with God? He would bless us to know the assurance of faith. For friends, really, I believe the real diligence in exercise God gives his people will be, like he said himself, the Son of God spoke, and he said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Do you see? We don't know when, but does it appear more and more solemn to you? The day is approaching, the day of thy death, the day of judgment is approaching. Oh, are we being made concerned? Some of us, those of us who have to come to times now in our old age when we're feeling more weakness and we can't do what we used to do, and now it's true what God says, he weakens their strength in the way. The grasshopper becomes a burden, desire fails. For man goeth to his long home, the mourners go about the streets. Is this causing us to be more solemnly concerned? That we might know we are right, we're made right by grace. That when we pass through those gates of death and are standing then before the judgment throne of God, oh, there the Son of God himself, all judgment given into the hand of God's Son, he comes a second time to judge the world in righteousness. Now, is it a concern for us, to us, to beg God to prepare us? Prepare my soul for that great day. Wash me in the Saviour's blood. Take my sins away. If the Holy Spirit's working in us, friends, personally, I believe it will be made to us a very great concern to be prepared for the judgment day, that we might not come to the judgment day and be found wanting there. God will make us to feel to become wanting. Oh, he'll show us that we've not got what we need, and he'll give us diligence to seek earnestly for what we need, and he'll bless us to beg of him, pray to him, plead with him for that wonderful, holy, rich forgiveness, his rich atoning blood to be applied to our hearts and consciences. Now, are you after it, friends, and am I? Are we really earnest in seeking it? Are we really earnest for this great favour? Oh, to know and taste redeeming love. To know it by the wonderful favour of the application by the Spirit of God of the holy blood, Christ's atoning blood, applied to us. Oh, he who is acknowledged the Lamb of God, who hath not shed his blood in vain. Oh, what you need is the dear Holy Spirit to seal you with that holy blood of Christ, that you are a son, one of God's sons, that thy sins are all forgiven, that thy sins are all put away, blotted out by the precious blood of Jesus. The blessed Spirit can seal this, does seal this to souls. This is God's way of making his wonderful, holy love divinely known. He does it by granting application of the holy sin atoning blood of Christ, God's dear Son, he who has not shed his blood in vain. And God, the Spirit makes application. And the application that God makes, friends, is by faith. By faith, God gives his people that faith which so grants them the favour of assurance. Blessed believing, blessed assurance. It's by the application, by faith, the precious blood of Christ to the very hearts and souls of God's people. Now, are you after this? Are you in earnest prayer for this? Are you seeking this? I mean, really, in all our devotions, friends, of religion and profession, if this is not the real diligence of our exercise, well, we need to question it all. Because you need the atonement, and I need it. You need to know that the Son of God has paid the price. We sing it sometimes, he's paid the price for sin. He has. But oh, to know it. Oh, to know the seal of it. Personally, to our hearts and consciences. This is what we must preach. This is what we must set before the people, that is so vital, so great is the need of it in each soul. Each one, each soul that knows salvation or is to know salvation must be brought to know and taste redeeming love. Oh, to know that the Saviour, the Son of God, oh, he loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, it fills my heart with joy when I hear of one who is testifying of what the Lord has done for their soul. Oh, if we've known the favours of God's grace, oh, then what a favour, what a privilege to testify what the Lord has done. You find it in so many places in the Word of God, how these things are so set. Look at how we finish reading, friends. That they may fear thee to walk in thy ways, so long as they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers, that they may fear thee to walk in thy ways. And you know, this fear is filial fear, which, like the wonderful grace of faith, so filial fear does too. It works by love. Oh, it's faith, it's love, it's believing, it's this fear, which is a fear of grieving the Lord, a diligence, an unctuous light to all that's right, a bar to all that's wrong. One said this fear, it gives religion life, to warm as well as light. Oh, makes mercy sweet, salvation great, all God's judgments right. Oh, wonderful grace, filial fear. Oh, that they may fear thee to walk in thy ways, so long as they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Oh, we are to live in the land here, friends, for the allotted span God has allotted us. God knows the end from the beginning. But we do not know what a day may bring forth. Are we aware of that? Are we solemnly concerned of that? We do not know what a day may bring forth. Death can so suddenly come, friends. It can. Are we really in diligence to be prepared? Oh, it is very important, you young people. Oh, I'm sure we all hope you will have a good and long life, and that you may be able to live honestly, and if God grant you his grace, as we would humbly trust he's granted some of you his wonderful grace, you might live in his fear, like this word speaks of, and that you might have a long life, but we do not know. None of us know. Oh, the moment that our lives begin, we all begin to die in a sense. And after death, the judgment. Oh, but wonderful word, isn't it? Oh, we know it is sometimes preached and spoken solemnly. It was at the funeral of my mother's grandfather, and the Lord used it to quicken her into life. And oh, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of men, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Are you really looking for him? Are you really looking unto him? Am I? Are we in diligence, friends, looking unto Jesus, looking for him, waiting for the Lord's returning? He will return, he will come again, whether we shall be among those, like Paul speaks of, that are alive and remain on the earth at the coming of the Lord. If we are, we will not prevent them that sleep, but the Lord will come, and the trump shall sound, and the Lord will come, and God's people will be forever with the Lord. But oh, we need the seal of the Spirit. We need the assurance that it will be well. It's such a serious matter is our soul's salvation. It's not something to be taken for granted, friends. What you need and what I need, and some of us hope we've had the seal, but if we've had it, we need it renewed. We need fresh tokens and new, and the renewing of it. Oh, we need to be seeking the Lord, seeking Jesus. Think of who the disciples were. They had had so much of his presence. They'd been with him so much. But you read of the times when he was not with them. They were seeking him. They were seeking him. Because his love, his wonderful love, had won their affection and bearing their soul fast. Now, are we in diligence like that if we've known his love? Oh, his love is so wonderful. If we haven't got his presence, oh, is there such a stirring up of diligence to seek him? Seek him earnestly. Oh, Lord, return and come again. We plead with God. Hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place. God's people pleading, waiting, pleading, waiting upon God, seeking him, earnestly seeking, begging, Lord come, Lord shine, Lord, if it's dark, Lord Jesus shine, then I can feel sweetness in salvation's plan. We need that wonderful sun shining. He who is the Son of Righteousness, he who is the bright and morning star, oh, we do need to be looking for him. Watching for him, praying that he might come. Look how the spouse in the song was so anxious. She had lost his presence. Oh, she was in diligence to seek. I went out into the broad ways, and the watchman saw me, took away my veil. They spoke hardly to her, but then she said, I went a little further. I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go till I had brought him into my mother's house. That's a deep, profound statement, friends, but I believe it means brought him into my mother's house. The word name mother, it should be seen to know and known to apply to the Church of God. And I believe it means that she would, in the Church of God, speak in wonderful testimony of her beloved. She could say, my beloved is mine, he feedeth among the lilies. And that's the Son of God coming into his garden, where he has those wonderful plants, God's, the Father's plants of his right hand planting. The Son of God has great delight when he comes into his garden to eat his present fruits, to receive that honour and glory due unto him because of what he is and what he has done. Dear friends, this last part before we come to the close, which is upon my spirit, that they may fear thee to walk in thy ways, so long as they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. God has his perfect will and purpose for us, as long as we live in the land, as long as we dwell in Meshech, and the favour we have that we are by grace made to be among the inhabitants of Zion. Oh, wonderful theme, if you've been seeking for it and God's granted you the favour of it, blessed inhabitants of Zion, washed in the Redeemer's blood, Jesus whom their selves rely on makes them kings and priests to God. And as priests, his solemn praises each a thank offering brings. Now you see there's a great requirement, not for salvation, but for obedience and for the praise of our God. God has a requirement of us, not for in any way toward our salvation. He has done all that. But that we should live to his praise. We should deny ourselves by the grace of God, enabled by the grace of God. Like Paul says, by the help of God, he continues, he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, every one of God's people, under the strengthening and help and the grace of God, can do all things as God helps them. And they can and will, as he so humbles them and blesses them and fills their heart with his love, sets their soul on fire with his love, they will willingly walk in his ways. They will. Now, what evidence of you and me is there of this willingness to walk in his ways? Oh, here it is in this wonderful time of the consecrating of the temple. Here it is that they may fear thee, and you see Solomon is in prayer to God, and he has the prayer of the Spirit. I'm sure it is. It wouldn't be in the Word of God if it wasn't. And he says that they may fear thee to walk in thy ways, so long as they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Not something to be neglected, friends. Not something to be put in excuses as if it's not needed. No, friends. This time, and Solomon was so exercised, it was very important what he was saying, what he was praying, what he was pleading with God for the good of the people and for God's glory, that they may fear thee, to walk in thy ways, so long as they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Everything on God's side is acknowledged by Solomon as God's great favour, God's gift, his favour, his goodness, his loving kindness to his people. And oh, friends, are we not melted under the loving kindness of the Lord? Are we not melted and humbled under his goodness? Amazed at thy goodness, I fell to the ground. Especially when we're led to consider the great goodness to the house of Israel, which is all regarding what Christ is and what he's done. Oh, his wonderful love. Oh, his love beyond a brother's costly free and knows no end. They who once his kindness prove find it everlasting love, which of all our friends to save us would or should have shed his blood. But ere Jesus died to have us reconciled in him to God. Oh, what wonderful themes these are. Oh, that they might fear thee. That they might fear thee to walk in thy ways so long as they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. I believe God's people, sanctified by the Spirit, will come to this point when there's nothing else in the land that's really important. Oh, what is so important is the honour and glory of God. You see, when we are stripped and when we are so brought, sanctified by the Spirit, and God makes this world to be empty, we have an aching void the world can never fill. Oh, as God goes on to teach us, everything here below becomes as vanity, marred. Everything of ours is marred and died with sin. Our all is nothing worth but looking away from ourselves and to view the blessed person and work of the Saviour and to know his love and to so be humbled under a sense of his wonderful love and kindness to us. Well then, it's all praise to him. It's praise God from whom all blessings flow. We want to live to his praise. We really want to deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow him. So, friends, here tonight, the prayer of Solomon is very, very fitting for today, you know. It's a wonderful theme to pray of prayer, and I believe there are those God's dear servants and God's dear officers in the churches, like you have your two dear deacons here. I know their heart is full of exercise for the good of souls. I know and feel it every time I'm with them in the vestry. And you know, it's that what God does, how God maintains exercise in his people for his glory, the good of souls and his glory, that they may fear thee to walk in thy ways so long as they live in the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Richard Field is expected to preach next Lord's Day. There will be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Robert Field is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 573. Jesus is the one thing needful, I without him perish must. Gracious Spirit, make me heedful, help me in his name to trust, and with pleasure in him as my portion boast. 573.
Dear Lord, do forgive anything that there was seen amiss. Do own and bless thy word. Bless the friends, Lord. Favour them in their souls that they may be blessed to know thy presence day by day. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God in the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.